listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. Welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. You are joining us on the 25th of November 2005. It's so weird to hear your voice say that at the beginning of every show. We are back with Ionix for tonight, as well as our good friend Planet.
Hello.
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 Let me just turn you up a little bit there, Ionix. Oh, I can't turn you up even.
All right.
You're coming through a tiny bit muffled.
Okay, I can fix that.
Cool.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sounds a bit crisper, a bit cleaner.
Okay.
Cool.
A little tweak. There we go.
I'll just turn down my background music a tad. Cool. Okay. Welcome, guys, to another episode. The last episode of the week. Seeing as it's a Friday. Oh, it's been a week, hasn't it?
It has been a week.
Yeah.
It's been a long one.
So, interesting things this week. We finally had a server running for 3 days. The testing process is going pretty well. It's going well, as in we found quite a lot of problems with it. One of which is the fact that my connection seems to drop every so often, which wasn't too visible before, but now for some reason it's become very kind of noticeable where my connection is failing. It's not doing the job it should be, and it's running most of the time at half the speed that it should be. This could be due to two things. One of which is my crappy line, which has a lot of noise on it. The way I can fix that is buying a really, really high-speed microfilter. Secondly, it could be my ISP, Bulldog Broadband, which is sucking balls. And it could be both together in unison, which is causing these problems. Which is something to consider if we're actually going to make the full switch, if you see what I mean. Let's say fuck it, you know, we've done all this work, it's been, you know, a good journey and it's been quite interesting, let's go with something that's already set up, like with another IRC network, or we can test this out for the next week and I'm gonna try and track down a really good microfilter, see if that works. If that makes a change to the stability, then we'll go with that. I don't know, you know, it's still open. I mean, the whole thing is still open. We could just switch the demons completely. Like, I was actually looking at a few other ones. I've got another service available as well to switch from Hibeserve to another one, which is called IRC Services, which is already installed on there as a Debian package, which I need just to kind of deploy. So yeah, there's quite a lot more things to work on.
Yes. But it's coming along nicely.
It is, yeah. I bought my tickets. So
right.
I'll be heading off to the US, man. Very shortly.
This great nation will never know it hit it.
Yeah. hopefully I'll come back alive, man.
You'll come back alive.
So, you're still planning to go, Planet, or have you changed your mind?
I'm still up for it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if my bank balance is.
Yeah.
I had a fair few quid left over this month, and in the final week of this month, I'm already looking forward to the next payday, and I'm a few hundred quid up, so I haven't pissed it all up the wall, which is unique. Now, this was last week. This past week, been anally raped by the DVLA.
Oh, right.
For being a naughty boy, basically, with regard to tax discs and not having one. I got pulled over by the cops, and I got the book thrown at me, literally the entire book.
They threw a book at you?
they've thrown the fucking library at me. They've done me on every single thing they could get based on a tax disc, which is why they pulled me over.
Yeah.
And there's just been fines coming out my ass. And it's either pay them or go to prison, so that's where this month's leftover money has gone. I was really happy, thinking, oh, I'm doing great, I'm normally crap at saving money, and then this comes up, and the police say, give us your fucking money, and I had to. So, if,
robbed
if
by
the tickets... Yeah, bastard.
Wait, I mean,
how
much time would you have done in prison, though?
Oh, I don't know, probably something nothing like 30 days, I don't know.
The amount of time you could have done in prison, you could have earned interest on the money you saved. Think about that one.
I should have actually figured it out.
Yeah.
What's the hourly rate?
Financially
how much
more
time
viable
am I
to go to jail.
Exactly, it's financially viable to actually go to prison for a few months than to sell out, man. Seriously,
instead of giving me a fact on what
I
was facing,
you've been paying all these taxes. You might as well get some free room and board out of it.
Exactly. I mean, prison isn't that bad. You know, you get free food, shelter, recreational facilities, a library. You still be on. You know, you can still go on IRC and stuff in the prison computer IT department.
You get a free bumming.
I'm sure they'd
love it. You get stabbed.
Yeah. No.
So they've kind of emptied out my bank account, what was left of it anyway. Basically, to cut to the end of the story, if the tickets haven't gone crazy prices by payday, which is like Thursday, then I'm in.
I already got paid today, man.
How
comes you have to wait so long?
The last working day of the month
We do it on last Friday of the month, which is today. No, the price was for me, and I was like, shit, man, I've run out of money completely. I have to wait for this Friday to buy it, and I hope to God that the prices don't go apeshit. And I looked at the price, and I was like, £2,000? Oh my God, you must be kidding me. And I was like, oh, okay, I selected the, like, full board thing. I was like, no. I'm going with the fucking, like, cargo hold shit, man. So it was, I think I sent the price in the email. I think it was like $215 or something like that. It wasn't too bad, including tax. So the prices are still the same. So if you're happy with paying like $215, you might as well get on the same flight as me or something like that, man.
As long as it's not doubled or anything.
No, I checked Air France. Prices are even cheaper. But Air France tend to crash a lot, and they're flown by Frenchmen, which doesn't agree with my logic. So I was like, let's say you're saving 30 quid, but then you could die, and you're flying in a shit aircraft. How about no? And frog doesn't actually taste as good as it should. It tastes like chicken, and really bony chicken. So I thought, am I going to have a frog lunch? No, I'll go with American shit, and maybe I'll get, like, a burger or something like that. Like, you know, an Uncle Sam's burger and an on-flight movie that's going to bore me to hell. And maybe they'll let me plug my laptop into their network and, like ooh, the plane has SSH. What's the password? I like to fly. Ooh, shit. CD dot dot. ETC / control / planes. Ooh. Do you wish to go up or down? Yes, no. How
I'm
many feet?
The game on the airplane.
Yeah.
Why are we crashing?
I forgot to press escape.
The flight control terminal just got a blue screen.
Yeah. They should have totally been running Linux on those things, man. Yeah, just do a, like...
Welcome to Tux Airlines.
Yeah. Like, do an Nmap on the plane. I'm sure they've got, like, Wi-Fi in planes now and all that crap. And, like, you work out that it's running Windows.
I've heard of some planes developing Wi-Fi for their customers to use.
Oh, it's... No, Wi-Fi is available on the new huge Boeings. You know those massive, massive Boeings that they've just finished? And it has, like, it has...
Well, they have to have some kind of communication, because... Yeah. Give me one second.
I mean, the fucking thing has a server rack on the plane, literally.
If you were
I saw
to be dialing, like, a toll-free number, something in the lines of 1-877, looks like 688 or 888.
Yeah.
9942.
Yeah.
You would be ringing a telephone on the back of a seat in an airplane.
That's right. I think you talked about this before in one of the episodes where you could, like, talk to someone on the plane, and then I came up with a really sick...
Oh, yeah,
sick,
yeah. It was one when I was flying.
Yeah. But
yeah, they actually have 800 numbers that if you activate it with your credit card while you're on the flight, like, people can call that 800 number and reach you in the airplane.
Cool.
Yeah. I've never found one that somebody had it activated.
Mm.
Because that would be a fun conversation.
Yeah. So...
Conversation that would cost them a shitload of money.
Yeah.
Hi, so where are you flying to? You know I'm paying $1.50 per minute for this.
Yeah, I want to make the most of it, bitch.
Yeah, so how's the weather? You above or below the clouds?
Yeah.
Let's get our money's worth. What are you wearing?
Yeah, and then he starts talking dirty to you. Like, bitch.
What's that, like the phone sex Mile High Club?
Yeah.
I joined the Mile High Club over the telephone.
Could you imagine if these things have, like, IP addresses that we don't know about, and then, like, they've got, like, their own subnet for all the aircraft? And these things are active, like, 24/7. You could, like, ping the fucking thing, and I don't know, man. They must have, like, some remote services, because hardly, like, if something goes
I'm
wrong...
I'm fairly certain that it all goes over RF, that,
bespoke.
The IP wouldn't actually be on the plane.
Yeah.
It'd most likely be on the ground, and it gets synced via some kind of RF.
Right. I don't know, man. But that new Boeing, the huge one, I don't even know what number it is, which is weird, because I'm a bit of a plane spotter, if I can call myself that. A plane number enthusiast. But, yeah, they've got a full server rack, you know, like, fully mounted network, Wi-Fi, you know, like, Ethernet and all that shit. Internet, live, like, Google shit, man. You can, like, go on the internet on these planes. So they must have, like, an external IP address. So, in theory, you should be able to remotely access, like, you know... like VNC into another fucking laptop on somebody's computer on the fucking plane while they're flying in the air, or even access local services on the network. And what I'm thinking is, if something goes wrong on the plane, let's say they've landed in, like, fuck knows where, like, I don't know, let's say Jeddah or something like
Cambodia.
That. Yeah, no, well, not really Cambodia, just some rich eastern country. And they haven't got a techie there to fix the plane. So they're gonna have to remotely fix this. They must have dial in services like an SSH shell, or I don't know, like a remote desktop or VNC or a secure remote kind of client. They definitely do, man. I don't see how logically it would be to not have that and something go wrong and for them not to be able to provide that wireless service to the customers. So they've got to have a contingency plan like that to be able to remotely admin these machines. So, you know, there might be an interesting thing to look up on for all these hackers. You know, it'd be really cool if you were the one that found this thing and were like, shit, man, this is, you know, you could, like, seriously, like, go into these aircraft while they're flying and, like, send messages to all the, like, network, like, going, you're gonna crash and shit like that, man. That would be hilarious.
I just want to turn on the little lights that make the woman come and get drinks.
Yeah.
Randomly blank those.
Yeah.
Constantly. You know, I guess net send messages making people fear for their lives. I mean, that's cool, but really, I just want to make that stewardess run up and down the aisle a lot. I guess I'm just a little more juvenile.
Or the toilet alarm.
The toilet alarm.
You know, they have
well,
those,
you know, the one thing about these things is the more and more that we get that our everyday lives and everyday equipment,
yeah,
you know, becomes computerized,
yeah,
and networked,
hmm,
the more and more opportunities to be able to control very,
sure,
odd things,
hmm,
due to very poor setups or implementations of those.
Hmm. As we've proved,
you know,
many
some
times.
Of the examples are some of the Google mining that's been done with online
webcams,
cameras.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I love that. I love that stuff, man. That's one of the coolest things. Because it almost puts you in the position of being the all-seeing eye. Talking about that, actually, there was
can't
a
stop the source.
Yeah, I mean, there was a program last night about buses. I don't know if Planet saw it. London buses.
No, I missed it.
Yeah, you're probably out on the 24-hour drinking.
Well, I'd have to give it a go. Yeah.
And they showed the control center. Literally every single bus in London has about 15 cameras inside the bus from all angles. Every single bus monitors what's going on inside. From outside to every single angle you could possibly think of inside the bus, to the driver, to the doors, all that kind of stuff. What they do is they collect all that information in this huge fucking like control center. And any emergencies, they can assess it there. They monitor all the visuals. They monitor everything that's going on. Now, I don't think that's such a bad thing, but I really don't like to be just monitored constantly while I'm on a bus and all my journey's tracked and all that kind of stuff. But then again,
yeah,
if it's going to save somebody's ass, if it's going to save my ass, if it's going to save that old lady's ass from being mugged, you know, her purse stolen, it won't stop her from getting mugged. It won't stop anyone from getting stabbed. It won't stop you from getting the shit kicked out of you on a bus, you know? It's not going to stop that guy from setting fire to the bus, because that shit happens, even though you've got 15 cameras watching you. It's not going to stop anything like that. That's what it make you think it will. But it's going to make it easier for you to find that person that's done something like that.
Well, I mean, there is always the argument that, you know, a person knows that they're on camera.
Yeah.
You know, and is going to be on better behavior,
yeah,
because they
no.
are less likely to do something if they know
no.
they're going to get caught.
No, I don't think so. Not from the footage I saw. And also,
well, that doesn't really, you know,
yeah.
that doesn't really stop lunatics.
No, but I have to say, you tend to become immune to the cameras. People stop noticing cameras, and you just commit the crime anyway. I mean, how
I've
many...
I've got to say, like, on days that I'm, like,
normal.
At work, like,
yeah.
out of the house,
yeah.
days that I don't just stay home,
yeah.
it is remarkable how much time, when I'm out of the house, that I'm actually on camera.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think London is actually the most surveillanced city in the world.
Yeah.
It is. They did a survey on how
I'd
many
like
times...
I'd like to compare that to Washington, D.C. Because there's a centralized database...
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C. that links every camera...
Right.
Security camera in the city...
Mm-hmm.
to one central control center.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from security cameras at malls to the traffic cameras. Basically, every network security camera that they could secure the agreement to do so, they have.
Yeah.
Not even to mention the kind of
wow.
camera and surveillance security that's in the Capitol area, like the White House area.
Yeah, yeah.
They take that. I mean, it's amazing, but there are at least 7 different sniper posts.
Wow.
Around the White House itself,
mm.
where 24 hours a day there are snipers and little
walking around
on roofs,
yeah.
ready to respond. You know, the traffic cameras are all routed both
oh, yeah.
In Washington, D.C. anyway,
yeah.
both through the Washington, D.C. local police.
Yeah, that's
as
right.
As well as the Secret Service.
Yeah, that's right. They've got amazing...
you know, and the FBI as well.
They've got amazing high-quality cameras there. I've seen... I've seen their control centers and stuff. They really are fucking high speed. They've got, you know, they can track everything that's going on, traffic flow. You know, everything is remotely controlled. There's nothing they can't really do. You know, the only thing is the difference between London and that is that they do it here differently. They do it like the service is provided by the government because it's going to be on the buses. It's going to be all on the public stuff and not just like anywhere and everywhere. Like where it comes down to the street surveillance, it's going to be traffic cameras and congestion charging cameras. And also within kind of boroughs, you would have their own police camera surveillance system. So you wouldn't have it everywhere, but it would be on key spots in each borough. So one borough might not have as many cameras as the other, but it sure will have them in key areas such as shopping centres, around shopping centres, around town centres and stuff like that.
But, I mean, we even have surveillance cameras on school buses.
Oh, yeah, well, we've got them fucking everywhere, man. Apart from trains. On bus stops, in bus stops, there's surveillance cameras. Where else are the surveillance cameras? Like, around my area, actually, recently, there's appeared, like, three or four more cameras than there used to be. The ones that were there were protecting or monitoring the outside of a government building, which I live very close to. Now I can justify that. Hey, this is a government building. Fair enough. But remember, I was talking about the new access point that popped up really close to me.
Yeah,
I worked out what that is, and the SSID of it is quite long, but it's. It's like WWC, which is Westminster Something Council, remote CCTV monitoring system. So all the cameras around that area are wireless, and they all talk to that AP. So that's how they're doing it now, and they're really high spec cameras actually.
Cool.
They're all,
See, I don't really have a problem with cameras.
Yeah.
You know, if I wanted to throw up cameras, you know, outside of where I live and stuff to be able to monitor that, that's fine. I think everybody has that right, business, you know, the government. It's when they all start to get tied in.
Yeah. That's the problem.
That things start to get scary.
I really don't have a problem, as I said, with that kind of stuff. But as long as they're decentralized, I've seen cameras outside of people's windows monitoring bus stops just because of the fuck of it, you know. I can set up my webcam and put it outside of my window and I can see everything that's going on outside. Why? Because it's fucking funny, you know. You see strange things happen that you usually wouldn't do because you're at work sort of thing. You know, there's no law stopping me from surveillance, you know. And it's covert surveillance because nobody knows that there's a camera there. And they could, like, you know, they could kill someone outside my window. Not that that's going to happen, but I could record it, and then they'll be like, shit, there was a murder there. Did anyone see anything? And I'm like, well, I've got my fucking camera, and it's got everything FTP'd to my server. How about you check that shit out? And this guy goes to jail, because, you know, he didn't know that I was a geek, and I was monitoring everything that was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really... It's a weird kind of aspect of things, but...
Well, anything that you do in public is public domain as far as,
that's,
you know,
true.
Videotaping and video surveillance.
Yeah. But there is no real... There is no privacy in London. When you go outside of London, there's just... I mean, you could go an hour out of London and nobody would give a fuck about anything. There's just absolutely no cameras.
What are the laws like in London about using thermal imagery?
I have no idea. But actually, an interesting thing that a friend of mine and me were talking. You see how you've got those people that snoop on people putting in their PIN numbers and stuff into machines, cash machines? Now, I might be wrong on this one. But let's say you had a thermal imaging camera, like a really... good quality one. How about you just point that thing at the keypad And because the keypad is made out of metal, it's going to be really fucking cold, especially now. And the person's hands are warm. They leave a fingerprint of heat on each key. And from the amount of cold that... from the amount of time it takes the keypad to go from like orange to blue again, you can work out what was the first key pressed and what was the last key pressed, and then you can work out their PIN number. Could you not?
You could also work it out without using thermal imagery, or using thermal imagery and just, you know,
looking at what they're doing,
making a plot of the keypad and watching the motion.
I don't know if anyone else has thought about that, but...
Or a horrible scam that was going on, and still goes on occasionally, where somebody actually builds an RFID reader.
That's
right. Or not an RFID, a mag stripe reader.
Yeah.
That fits directly over top of the mag stripe reader in a simple ATM machine. And then they hook up a... It's basically like an electromagnetic card.
Yeah.
That will actually send the ATM corrupted data, making the ATM think it's out of order. And then they'll mount a camera. Usually they'll place like a box there that has pamphlets or something in it, and it'll have a small camera pointed at the keypad.
Yeah.
And they'll just like basically sit there, wait for people to swipe their ATM. It goes over Wi-Fi to the laptop, all the information that's on the actual card.
Yeah.
Watch them put in their PIN. Then have the, you know, the ATM tell them it's out of order, it can't process the order, and they'll go on their merry way, and people just sit in a car and collect, you know, bank account information and PIN numbers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah.
Naughty, naughty.
Naughty, naughty, clever people. Should be using
Very
your
clever.
Skills
Very bad.
To, good, for good things.
Yeah,
about,
right.
Like, protecting that. Now that you know, and you prove that you can do it as a proof of concept, how about you work out how the fuck to protect someone from doing that exact thing that you've just done? Instead of trying to make the quick
buck. That'd be very difficult, though, because the only way to do it is to educate people on how to spot a modified ATM machine.
Yeah.
And that's just like, no bank wants to do that. That's a shitstorm of bad press.
Yeah. Well, not unless you made the actual entrance for the card very secure, as in, as the card goes through, it's like, I don't know, very thin, that only the card can come through. There's like locks and breakdown devices that are kind of secured so that nothing can happen to
it. What I think that should be done is that ATM machines should work on a secure ID basis. Where an algorithm spits out a password every 30 seconds and make the algorithm that does that secure.
Yeah.
Rather than your simple PIN number.
So basically you enter your your PIN number.
Major
as
corporations
well as...
who use secure ID cards have been doing this for quite a while, and it works very well because your passwords change twice a minute.
Yeah.
And the time that it would take to crack a 16-digit passcode like that is much greater than 30 seconds.
Yeah. It's a much more secure system. But then to this
day...
They're
actually pretty... They're not as cheap as like a magstripe card.
Yeah.
But they're not that much more.
I mean, yeah. It'll probably cost you about as much as you're giving away... to people that have been victims of credit card fraud.
Maybe. Yeah, probably, actually. You'd probably save money in the long run.
Yeah.
But not in the short term. Okay, I got a little trivia question. How many times in my life have I used an ATM machine?
Is this a question for us?
Yes.
Venture
a guess.
Well, from all the footage that I've collected of you, 4 times?
Nope.
How about you, Planet?
Less.
Less than four times.
Once. Yes. Get in.
Is that right?
What's that?
He said once.
Nope. Less.
Less?
Oh, poop.
Minus zero.
I have never used an ATM machine to withdraw funds from an account, ever.
Why?
Why?
And I actually haven't had a bank account since I was 16 years old.
Oh, right. Well, that kind of explains it.
Yeah.
But what happens when, like, you get a job that... I don't know how you're paid at the moment, but I assume, seeing as you don't have a bank account, you're paid cash in hand, which means that you're not...
No, I get paid by check.
Okay, you get paid by check. But then
I work for a large enough company that they cash my checks on site.
Right, okay. So, you're not paying tax?
No, I pay tax.
Okay, but... Okay,
what
happens...
I get most of it back at the end of the year because I'm poor, but yeah. That gets taken out of my payroll by my company.
But what happens when...
I figure it out at the end of the year to see what they owe me.
Right, but what happens when, like, you get a job with, like, a huge kind of, like, let's say, IT company, and they need a bank account for you to, for them to be able to, you know, wire the money, which is how I think everybody gets. What would happen then? Would you get a bank account, or...?
Yeah, probably, but it would be either in the Caymans or Switzerland.
Right.
And most likely what would happen is the money would get wired to my account. I would withdraw in cash as much money as I could and still keep the bank account open. And, I mean, all of my purchases are made cash.
Right. So what, would you not, like, open a high... savings account and just, like, deposit the money in there?
No.
And then get the interest for that?
I can make more interest than just buying gold.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask you is because I work the same way. I do have a bank account, but then again, I withdraw everything from the bank account. So most of it goes into buying things, which means that I don't have much money. But I've seen... I mean, the way it works is I have a set amount of money that's saved, because it has to be, because I need to buy things, mm-hmm. like I need to pay for bills, electricity, internet, yeah. everything like that. So you need like a direct debit kind of system.
I don't.
So how would you, when, like, let's say you have your own house, you have to, like, pay the bills, like, how they'd need to remove that money from
the
account?
So basically you're asking, how do I pay bills?
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I go the money order route.
Right.
Although I'm not fond of that, because they do take a little bit of money away from you when you do that.
Yeah.
Another way that you can do it is a lot of places that have Western Union terminals also allow you to pay for, like, utility bills and stuff like that in cash.
Right.
You know, there. I also have a spot in my apartment that I keep a fairly large amount of bills.
Which I'm going to be, like, trying to find one of there. Or your hidden cash.
You know I have guns, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, I'm going to be cracking that safe code, man.
See, you're thinking way too high tech with it.
Well, I'm sure you've got some,
I do,
like,
not trust technology when it comes to money.
I'm sure you've got, like, my voice is my passport, please identify me kind of safe. Like...
I don't have a safe at all.
Do you just, like, keep it in your drawer or something?
No, not in a drawer, per se, but it is in one location in my apartment.
Right, okay.
The likelihood of somebody breaking into my apartment and finding it are, well, slim to none.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like... I mean, if I was going to hide something, it would probably be underneath the floor... Or in the...
Damn you, now I have to move it.
Or in the siphon of you know, the flush of the toilet.
You know the 50 cal ammo boxes?
Yeah.
The waterproof ones? Yeah. I have one of those.
Yeah.
Beneath one of the floorboards in my apartment.
And that's where you stash all
the
stuff.
That's where I keep my money in. That's where I keep my money.
Wow. You know,
I stash other things other places.
I'm going to need, like, a screwdriver so that I can dig up your floorboards. I'm sure I'll find some very interesting things. Why?
Yes, but you might not make it back to the UK alive.
So, there you go. Welcome.
See, that's my...
Yeah, there you go.
You
welcome.
Want to talk, like, security through obscurity?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best thing about it, because I have, like, considerable school loans as well.
Yeah.
The money that I make on record, compared to, like, the money that I actually have, we're just going to say those figures are seriously skewed.
Sure.
And my creditors, they can't touch me. Because on paper, I have no money.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, I do okay.
True. Yeah.
Not great, but I do okay. But on paper, I have nothing.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, the way I see it is I'm kind of like that, but in the sense that I wouldn't go all the way and face the inconvenience of having to pay all these bills, because I've got loads of them. Well, not loads of them, but there's just a lot to have to pay. And the inconvenience of having to go there in person and pay with cash is greater than just having it taken from your account by wire. I don't know if you feel the same, Planet.
Absolutely, yeah. I
can see that.
Same thing.
But absolutely nobody can look over my shoulder.
Yeah, well, I'd only take money out of a cash machine if I knew that nobody could see what I'm doing. And, you know, if the government's going to look into my bank account, I don't give a fuck, because there's nothing I've got there to hide except for my money and what I do with it, which is what I do is leave a little bit and take a lot out, sort of thing, every month. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's different ways of doing it, but I would love if it was more convenient for me to not have a bank account, whereas at this point it is the most convenient thing for those accounts to be, you know, for my bills to be paid like that, because some things, like on the internet, you can't do it any other way, sort of thing.
I just prefer to be off the grid.
Yeah.
You know?
Hmm.
I don't see it as sustainable.
Sure.
Under my current income, it's entirely sustainable.
Yeah.
But if I start making more money,
yeah, you're gonna have to have
it's
a bank
gonna
account.
Have to go to different places.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be able to stash $20 bills anymore.
No.
Just it's and like actually that's something I'm working towards.
Hmm.
But what although I can definitely keep a good portion of my money off the grid.
Yeah.
Also, you know, gold is a wonderful thing. You can buy 1 ounce bricks of gold for about $350.
Mm.
Now, the best part about them is they never lose value. And the worse the stock market does,
yeah, the higher the
better
gold.
The gold market
yeah.
does. So it's like, you know, I mean, that's security.
Yeah.
Definitely. Not to mention the fact that you can go anywhere on the face of the earth.
And, yeah.
And gold is valuable.
Exactly. Now, that's actually one of my, well, not one of the secrets, but it's one of the kind of things in survival is you always carry gold on you wherever the fuck you go. Because it really is the universal currency. If you're in a shit spot and you've got absolutely no money because, you know, everything's been robbed from you and you're gonna die if you don't get some transport or some food or something, you
yeah.
can trade that gold yeah. in for valuable items to save
your ass.
I'll
tell you what, there's plenty of places on earth where US dollars won't do crap.
Yeah.
So like that's very nice.
And usually in the US as well.
Anything from this. Gold? Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Gold is always good.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of building a survival kit.
Right. Oh, interesting. We should talk about this, man, because I'm a big fan of survival. Big fan. I you know what? Because you mentioned to me yesterday that you'd like to do some filming while we're over there in the US.
Yeah.
I was thinking, why not do something like that, but do it as in we do like a big kind of Hacker Voice thing where we do a whole thing of survival and we do a whole thing of like hacking and stuff like that and presented by us.
Sure. We'll host it on the site. It'll be HVR video 1 and 2.
Yeah.
We can do 2 episodes, yeah. Like in a week.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
Yeah. The interesting thing about my kit is it's not like strictly, you know, backwoods, middle of nowhere survival.
Yeah.
It's like, I have that in there.
Yeah.
But I also have, like, urban survival as well. And one of the most interesting things, or I think anyway,
yeah.
is, like, the ability to be able to pick up any phone, make a call to anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And just be able to do that. And not only that, but also make that call and make it seem like it's coming from anywhere else.
Yeah. No, I'm actually very excited about this, man. Because I've got a lot to say about it, and you know, there's a lot of information that people don't know that they could use in kind of everyday survival stuff, like what happens if, how to do this, how to get out of this sticky yeah. situation, you know. But practically, because you could go on 6 episodes on surviving in desert, surviving in a forest, surviving in war and shit like that, which aren't really practical. How many times are you going to be stranded in a desert? Let's say none, you know, unless you wanted
probably
to do it.
Probably never, but you see, the thing about survival is yeah. there's always that one time.
Hmm. Sure.
Desert survival, that's rough.
Yeah.
Basically, I suggest, you know, they sell them for about $1.50.
Yeah.
It's a compound that you can use to purify your urine.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting, but it'll keep you hydrated yeah. for a lot longer.
Also, if you have any, like, metal implements, like, let's say, a bucket or a drum, they're really useful. Because what happens is the air inside condensates overnight, and in the morning, it starts to drip. And what you want to do is collect that dew and collect it in like a little sterile cup. That's water that you can drink.
Oh, yeah. Here's another good one.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of nowhere. You have no water. But you happen to have like the ocean nearby. Well,
yeah.
you can't drink ocean water, can
no.
you?
No. It's full of...
Well, if you got a stick and a plastic bag.
Yeah.
And something... to collect water in,
yeah.
or you just cut the plastic bag in half yeah. and make a makeshift, like, sort of drum for the water.
Yeah.
You can pour the seawater into there, make a sort of pyramid with the stick of the plastic, and
yeah.
as it evaporates, it's going to catch.
Collect in there, and it's going to drip down.
On
yeah.
there, it'll run down, you can create a basin to collect then the fresh water.
And the salt will
and
be left on the bottom.
And you end up with salt in the bottom yeah. of the pan.
Which you can use to,
fresh
you know,
drinking water.
Which you can use to, spice up the rabbits you've collected and, like, rodents and stuff.
yeah, sure.
But... Yeah, it's...
Which
it's,
leads me to my next one. The AR-7 survival rifle.
Yes.
22 caliber, accepts high-velocity rounds as well as low-velocity rounds. Or, if you will, magnums versus non-magnums.
Yeah.
The entire aperture fits into the buttstock. 4 inches by 16 inches. And when it's broken down like that, it floats.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we could definitely do something like that, man. I'd be really excited to do that. And to get some video down as well, because we've got a fuckload of audio, you know? Just,
We do have a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, that'd be cool. But we do need a cameraman.
I think we may have one.
Do we?
If Planet's coming, then yes.
Oh, I was thinking about your dog, but sure, I mean, if Planet wants to be the cameraman... Then...
Oh, Beagle yeah. Cam, that'd be awesome.
Be on the film.
Well, you don't want to have your face on the film, do you?
I don't, no.
No, so no. Could you be behind the camera?
That's flipping lootly.
Yeah? Okay, man, we've got that sorted. I mean, we've got a person that, by default,
if he
has to be behind camera.
If he doesn't make it, I got peeps.
Yeah.
Like, my little brother could do it.
Yeah.
Excellent. You know, so there's plenty of people to be interested.
Man, this is going to be cool.
For our shooting trip.
Mm-hmm.
My sister is dating a...
A psychopath.
A new beau, if you will.
Oh, right.
He's served in the demilitarized zone in Korea.
Right, okay.
As well as the first Gulf War.
Right, so not on a firewall, but
and
in war.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get that one in.
Okay. he's going to come along with us on our shooting trip.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And he's going to bring some toys as well.
Oh, lovely. I like toys.
And by toys, I mean things that are highly deadly.
I like highly deadly toys.
Don't we all?
Yes. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, man. The only thing I'm not looking forward to is the fucking... It's going to be cold there, man. It's going to be... I mean, you guys don't walk anywhere, do you? You pretty much get a bus or a car everywhere in the U.S.
Well, I'm a kind of insane bastard. I do walk a lot of places.
Yeah.
Let's see, right now here in my... it's not underground. It's a much above ground layer.
Right.
But I'd say the temperature in here is about 45 degrees.
Right, okay. Fahrenheit.
It's non-heated, and, yes, Fahrenheit,
right.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
I'd be sweating my balls off otherwise.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah.
You know, this is a non-heated space that I've set my office up in,
yeah.
So... C'est la vie. But I actually like the cold.
Mm. Yeah,
much
so do
better
I.
Than the heat.
Yeah, I can really get...
The one thing about the heat is, like, you can only take off so many clothes.
Yeah, that's right.
With
before you
cold,
get arrested.
You can always put on another sweater.
Yeah.
No, In the past 6 months, I've seen 120-degree weather and 20-degree weather, all Fahrenheit, of course.
I'm good with the cold if all my extremities are covered, like my feet and my hands. And I will not get a cold. I will not get any sort of illness. I won't even shiver. As long as my feet and my hands are covered. So that's it, man. You know, that's my Achilles heel is my feet, which is weird. But
I was actually thinking about you today.
Yeah?
Well, I was on my lunch break. There's a Goodwill, which is a thrift store.
Right.
That's right next door to the grocery store that I work in.
Right.
And they have like a little cabinet with technology stuff that
right.
I, you know, every now and again on my lunch break, I wander over there and see if there's anything interesting I can buy.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, like, you know, if you need gloves.
Yeah.
Or a sweater or something like that, you can get them for really cheap.
Oh, that's precisely what I'm going to do, is not buy anything here, because it's going to be really expensive and a real pain in the ass to carry, because the only thing that will slow you down is your equipment. You know, if it's not going to stop a bullet, it's going to slow you the fuck down. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go light and buy...
You won't need anything to stop bullets.
No, I mean, if it's going to be that cold,
unless of
I'm
course
buy
we
there.
Give Planet the gun.
Yeah, and because you know how much that guy hates me.
I'm carving your name.
Well, I don't
on
know.
The
Anyone that goes and shoots pheasants is all good by my
yeah.
by me.
Well, as you know, as long as he doesn't think I look like a bird that can hardly fly, you know. Bilal, you're looking awfully bird-like today.
Kaboom!
That's how hungry we get.
Yeah, we get so hungry.
Well, I gotta say, it's gonna be a tremendous amount of fun, because we're going to be basically in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
With a almost ungodly number of firearms.
Oh, God.
That's gonna be sweet. Yeah.
And, you see, that's the nice thing about the United States of America. Is if you've got a place that you can go that has 60 acres of land that you have permission to shoot on,
you can do what the fuck you want.
Nobody's gonna give you shit
about
firing just about anything.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, man. That's gonna be so good. Is that whole aspect of that kind of freedom, and just being able to really enjoy yourself. The only time I'm able to do that is when I'm in Bosnia, because there anything fucking goes, as long as you can save your ass from not stepping on a mine. And I can tell you, going hunting in woods that are mined is quite an interesting feat, because you really
that
have to watch. You have to really watch your feet. And I've got a weird kind of sense of, I'll tell you what, we were playing football next to a minefield. And guess what? This fucker kicks the ball so high because he's trying to impress everyone and goes straight into a fucking minefield. The way you can tell if it's a minefield is that there's loads of grass, about 6 foot high grass, and mine tape all around it saying minefield. And who goes to rescue that ball? Yours truly.
You, of course. Yeah. I have to say, just as like a side note, and we can go right back to the minefields in a second.
Yeah.
My fiance went and got my beagle.
Yeah.
Like a fleece sort of vest.
Oh, sweet. Does it have ammo packs?
And fleece. It doesn't. But yeah. I'm gonna sew them in tonight.
Yeah. Cool.
And he's got like fleece little booties on.
Oh, sweet.
And he's very confused about how he should take this.
Yeah.
But with, like, the advent of cold weather, he's been shivering a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's going to learn to love it. He looks pretty badass.
Yeah, man. No, is it camo, though?
No, it's black.
Oh, nice. It's got to be either camo or just, like, matte black.
Yeah, matte black.
He's
going ninja.
You need weapon pouches. You need ammo pouches. And some sort of knife holder underneath the body. So let's say you're in a sticky situation where, you know, you're getting searched.
All my shit's been taken. I can be like, Watson, come here, boy.
Just like, and then like
there's
you reach,
my hand grenade.
You go to tickle his belly and you pull out like a sword, man. I don't know how long your dog is, but usually dogs don't kind of bend that way, so you could conceal a knife underneath his belly. Just whip that bastard out.
Oh, yeah, hour long his side.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's about 17 inches long and about 12 inches high.
Yeah.
If that.
I'm sure.
Small. He's a hunting dog.
I'm sure like a handgun would suit him.
It would. It would, actually. If we are going to shoot handguns, we're going to go to a gun club to do it.
Yeah, definitely, man.
My aunt is actually an avid member of a gun club, so...
Yeah. I mean, there's
we'll be able to...
Handguns are pretty lethal. They're not a, like, a rifle range weapon. If you're going to be going handgun... Yeah. If you're going to be shooting handguns, you're going to be shooting them for precision shooting. They're not a fun weapon,
within 10
say.
To 20 yards, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, if you're shooting a handgun, you're either shooting it to kill someone or to test your skills, basically, at a target. So I'm going to be.
So you're looking at a 4 to 6 inch barrel. Yeah.
But we're definitely going to be looking forward to some of that sweet ass rifle shooting.
You know what I just realized is that the United States is like the British version of the Wild West.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, A, just the fact that we can have guns.
Yeah.
B, that many of us do.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I go to, like, places like North Carolina, Texas. I'm kind of flipped out because everybody's got a gun. It's either, like, you know, in the rear view of their car or their truck.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's strapped to the side of their leg.
That's
kind of like you guys coming to New York, where for the United States we have very strict gun regulations.
Yeah.
But I can also go out on any given day and just buy a firearm and bring it home.
Yeah. That's so good, man. I mean, Planet, are you a shooting man? I mean, you go pheasant shooting, but you're doing that with muskets or some sort of shotgun that doesn't really
fucking muskets.
It's got to be a shotgun.
No,
this
I mean
1811.
No, I mean as in muskets, as in it fires It doesn't fire bullets, as in it doesn't fire one single projectile. It fires many. It's like a dirty gun, if you know what I mean. It fires like burst shot, as in like a musket. I didn't mean you carry a musket and one of those loading like sticks and like a little pouch.
You get all dressed up. Yeah. It's a whole historical recreation thing.
Yeah, and you've got your little gunpowder pouch.
It's actually fairly popular in the United States to have black powder rifles.
Yeah.
That are muzzle loaders that you still like put the shot the gunpowder in
and you poke it down.
You poke it down. Yeah, it's generally about 50 caliber.
Yeah. And you put all these like ball bearings in there and shit. You fire that at someone, man, it won't kill them, but it will fucking hurt. Well, you hope
it
won't.
Fucking kill them.
Well, you hope it won't, because the pain of that bastard is. They'll hope that they've died.
No, Belial, I'm sorry. If you, so long as you don't hit like the outward portion of an extremity, like the forearm or the calf, that'll kill somebody.
I don't know.
You hit somebody in the chest with a 50 cal muzzle loader, and they don't make them smaller.
Yeah.
The entrance wound is going to be about the size of a shotgun shell.
Right.
The exit wound is going to be about a foot and
a
half.
But how far away before you don't kill someone and you really wound them and they're left with like 6 or 7 entry wounds?
See, that's the thing. You don't have to split apart like that. It's a slug.
Oh, okay. But I'm talking about...
So you're looking at 3/4 of a mile to a mile before it loses deadly force.
Right, but I'm talking about... I mean, what kind of guns were you using? Let's get that straight first before I start talking about what I'm going to say.
The guns we were using the other day were shotguns, obviously.
But what was the cartridge load in there?
It's a birdshot.
The cartridge load was...
it was plastic.
Custom.
It was
whatever you wanted to bring along.
But it was a plastic case.
Yeah.
Right. So
that'll kill somebody up to 50 yards.
But what I'm trying to say is that isn't like a whole round in there. It's got all the shit in
a
there.
Bunch
that,
of little ones.
Yeah, it's got loads of tiny little rounds in there with a section for the gunpowder. Now, it's much easier to shoot something with that because it spreads the fire
across.
Yeah, but doesn't necessarily kill you at close range.
Sorry.
It kills you at close range, but it doesn't kill you at a far range like a single shot, a single round weapon would.
It might.
Yeah, but...
The velocity.
Yeah, yeah.
On each one of those little pellets is about the same velocity as out of a .22 rifle.
Yeah.
So you get hit in the chest or head. You do not have a great chance of survival.
Sorry, I'm talking to my phone, Alexa.
Sorry, go on. You go first, Planet.
Just sorry, mate. There's just a bit of a lag, so when I talk, he's talking. Sorry. Very rude, so I don't like doing that. With shotguns, something I've been into for, I don't know, very short space of time, say about the past 4 years or so. One thing I have learned, and I've seen myself, is that not only... do you change the amount of lead that's in there? Because you say these tiny little pellets, well, you can change those to great big pellets.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be just lead. They can be steel in certain cases.
That's right,
depends
yeah.
what you're hunting. There's a lot of different laws depending on what you're going after. So you can have really big pieces of steel in there.
Yeah.
So it depends on what the cartridge you've bought is. Also, it's very, very, very remarkably simple to make your own shotgun shells.
Yeah.
In which case, you can vary the amount of gunpowder that's in them and the amount of shot that's in them.
Yeah.
For the initial boom and the initial whack.
Yeah.
you change.
Those are technical terms.
Between the two. Yeah, very, very technical terms.
Yeah.
The boom and the whack.
That's what I call them.
Look it up on Google. It's real terms. I swear. and another thing is what's known as the choke down the barrel of the shotgun. Now, that can change it from being very narrow,
yeah.
So that when you're hunting actual live animals, if you shoot them, it keeps all the shots together.
Yeah.
So you've got a very narrow shot, that's and right. all these shots target all at once and make a mess and kill a live target.
Yeah.
Or if you're going for the sporting kind of thing, like clay pigeons,
that's going to spread the load.
Yeah, you need quite a wide choke on it so that you're really covering your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a noob, then you do need that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, use a wide choke when you go in clay pigeon shooting. Yeah.
You just makes it easier.
Yeah.
Planet, when you're there's shooting more birds, shot do you use dogs to flush game?
Yeah, we were the other night, the other day, rather. That was... Labradors and Spaniels.
Right.
Doing it very well. Oh, very well trained dogs as well. Mm. It's remarkable.
My beagle is very poorly trained.
Yeah.
But he'll flush game like a motherfucker.
But he won't bring it back. He'll fucking like rip the thing apart, eat half of it, and then piss on it, and then he'll bring it back.
Nah, he won't find it. Yeah. It's my job to find the bird after it falls. But he'll make sure it gets up in the air.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Yeah. But,
he's like, oh, a bird, I want to play with it. So,
will it be my friend?
Tongue coming out of the mouth, the ears flopping around.
Yeah.
He runs towards the bird. The bird's like, holy crap, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
It starts to fly up. I shoot it. He's like, oh, you just killed my friend. Then I gotta walk over and grab the bird.
Aww.
Not good for pond shooting. I have no desire to go swimming in a pond this time of year.
No.
Not really.
I've got a question. It's quite easy to buy a weapon there. How easy is it to buy body armor there?
There's no, like, identification.
Right.
Or waiting periods for body armor.
Right.
It's fairly expensive, but you can walk into a place, buy body armor, and walk out.
No, that was my question. Like, if I walked into a gun store and I wanted to buy myself...
Chances are they wouldn't have it. It's fairly specialized.
Right, so, but...
But if you actually want to go and buy some...
Yeah.
I'll do some research and set it up for you.
Well, let's say I won't... I really... wouldn't advise going shooting if you're not wearing body armor. You know what I mean?
What?
No.
We're not shooting at each other.
We're not playing Counter-Strike.
We're not. Well, what's...
Why not?
Why not? What's the point? What, you're telling me we're shooting at paper?
Because I have a tendency to take headshots, that's why.
Boom! Headshot!
There's no
because the way that I was taught to shoot is you don't pull the trigger unless the thing is going to die.
Why is Belial not walking?
Yeah.
I mean, why is Belial not moving? What's that red stuff? And why is he not respawning?
Because he's old.
Yeah, right? Where's the respawn?
Yeah. Shit, man. There's no respawns in RL, man. That's why I got to wear body
Video
armor.
Video games lied to me again.
But that's what
I'm
saying.
Well, that's the last time I jump off a building.
Yeah. But no, seriously, man. I want to wear some body armor. I need to get
some
body.
Well, we're shooting?
Yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Why?
Because I want some body armor.
He wants to be RoboCop.
I can get... We can arrange for you to buy some body armor.
Yeah.
And I'll try and do it before we go shooting.
Yeah.
How will the UK feel about you taking body armor back with you?
Fuck. I mean... Do I give a fuck how they feel if I'm taking body armor? If I want to wear body armor in the UK, I mean, it's like my choice. I'll wear body armor to work, and I'll wear it at work with a flak jacket. And everybody would like, why are you wearing a flak jacket? Because, you know, just in case, the odd bit of shrapnel.
You know, people would really not fuck with you.
Yeah.
Ever. If you just wore body armor everywhere.
But seriously, man, if it's not going to stop a bullet, it's going to slow you the fuck down, so... And it's not about the bullet that I'm concerned.
So are you looking for Kevlar or ceramic?
Preferably Kevlar. Kevlar's
pretty cheap. Ceramics are pretty expensive.
I'm going to go with Kevlar because, as I said, I'm not concerned about, like, Planet or Ionix turning around and shooting me in the chest. I'm more concerned about the odd bit of shrapnel bouncing off a rock that you didn't see and going straight back into you. Which will, trust me, you know, these things can happen.
I think I need to describe to you our shooting conditions or something. We're talking about wide open fields.
Oh, right, okay.
Where we set targets up, like, in the distance and take pot shots at them. And all of us are in a line.
Right, okay.
And we're shooting all in the same direction. And there's nobody for about 2.5 miles in the direction that we're shooting.
See, the places where I went shooting were completely different. They were urban environments. Where you really needed...
Well, you see...
Kevlar.
We have a lot more open space here.
Okay. Well, I still...
Mostly...
I'd still feel much more happier wearing a vest than just wearing a t-shirt.
Of course, it'll keep you warm nicely, too.
Yeah.
Although, the one thing I have to say is if you start wearing a Kevlar vest, we might get tempted to test out how well it works.
Just go, I mean, how, honestly, I won't be wearing
it. Like, Planet's standing there in a jacket and a sweatshirt.
Yeah, and I'm wearing
I'm not going to turn around and shoot him in the chest.
No.
But a guy with a full Kevlar vest, I might be tempted.
Yeah. So would I. I'd be like, how much does this actually hurt if I pointed the gun at my chest? Let's try it.
I'll do it with a .22.
Yeah.
So it won't break a rib or anything.
Yeah.
But let's just pray you don't get defective body armor.
Sure.
I mean, this is starting to sound like some fucked up version of Jackass.
Oh, have you guys ever seen Super Troopers?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Planet knows what I'm talking about. The cock protector.
What is that like, Kevlar, for your genitals?
Except it's like
it's a great movie.
Forged titanium.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Oh, I've not seen that in ages. That's a great film.
That's going to be a movie that we'll watch when you guys come over. I have it on tape. Mm.
So what's what's the price of, like, a nice little Kevlar vest?
I'm going to have to look into it, but I'm thinking it's going to be between, like, $500 and $750.
Right, okay.
They're not cheap.
Yeah, no, I know. Not cheap. That's why the fucking American army don't have them when they're out in Iraq.
Well, we have Kevlar. We just don't have the new ceramic shit that can protect against anything. Like, high viscosity ceramics. Like, a bullet hits them, and then the ceramic puts itself back together and actually pushes the bullet out of the vest.
Yeah.
That is high.
Mm. That's why I'm not going to buy one of those, because they're too expensive. I mean, what I'm thinking is...
I mean, they're ridiculously expensive. They're so expensive that we can't afford to give our troops them. But you want to talk about hands-down best protection against freaking projectile weapons.
It's going to be that. But, I mean, all I'm interested in is a vest that will absorb the energy of a bullet and not let it pass through the vest. If I'm going to break a rib, I don't give a fuck, because I'm going to be alive and not, like, bleeding to death on the floor.
Yeah, man, if you want to buy a Kevlar vest, I can hook it up.
Yeah, man, that's going to be cool. I mean, I probably won't wear it because it's going to be bulky and it's going to get in the way and I won't be able to, like, get on the floor and move around and run around and stuff too well. It does.
Actually, you'll be able to do quite well. They're pretty light, actually. Yeah. They're plastic.
But it does restrict your movement slightly when you're in a combat situation, like hand-to-hand and shit like that. I don't know how much we're going to get in that with like, rain gear and stuff. But
you want to talk about, like, protecting against a bullet?
Yeah. Well,
somebody punches you in the heart while you're wearing a Kevlar vest?
Yeah.
You just headbutt them straight to the nose.
Yeah.
They'll never see it coming.
Yeah. But, man, I want to hook myself up with one of those, man, for real.
Cool.
Just for
I'll look into where we can buy them.
Yeah. Just for the, you know, cool factor of it, you know, you're wearing... I mean, you'll be like three guys wearing, like, just, like, really warm clothing, and there's me with a Kevlar vest. I'm going to look kind of the odd one out, like, why are you wearing this? Are you scared? I'm like, well, how about, I don't want to die sort of thing.
Like, man, we're not going, like... out shooting in Bosnia, man.
Oh, okay.
Like, we can go out target shooting.
Yeah.
We're not going to have to worry about reciprocal fire.
Like, the thing that we're shooting at isn't going to be firing back.
Nor are we going to be taking any stray bullets from the woods.
Okay.
No minefields either.
There's nobody around for like 2 miles.
Okay.
And there's no landmine.
Sure, but what if the bullet was coming from the left, and then it turned around, and it hit the bushy knoll, and then it spun round, and like a bit of wind moved it, and then it hit me through the back of the head, spun around, hit a brick, and came back and hit me through the chest, and then hit a cloud, a wisp of cloud, and then came back and did another bullet roll. Like, you know, John F. Kennedy.
I'm not exactly sure what you think about the United States.
How would they explain
that? The laws of physics do apply here.
Yeah. Well, not in the case of John F. Kennedy.
Of course they did.
Like, well,
there was just more than one person shooting it.
I know. But I'm just trying to say, like,
you know, who the hell cares? I mean, really. He's dead. Get over it. He wasn't that great of a president.
Sure.
He might have been a great president. Yeah. We don't know. He might not have.
Well, they killed
him. As far as I'm concerned, the best thing that he ever did, and it's a two-way tie, it's either staving off the Cuban Missile Crisis or nailing Marilyn Monroe.
Hmm.
I mean, but that's about it, man.
Yeah.
It didn't really contribute to peace so much as it did stave off war.
I'm quite surprised, though, that it's not as easy to buy body armor as it is to buy a weapon.
Oh, it's much easier.
But if you've got all these weapons, surely you'd have the same amount of need for body armor.
No, not at all.
No? That's
weird. No, it's like nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Well, it's not like nuclear weapons. I mean,
nobody gets, you know, a thermonuclear warhead so that they can use it on somebody.
I mean, you don't buy a gun.
They get
just
them
to
so
look
that
at
nobody
it.
Uses them on you.
I know, but what if somebody was to use it on you? You'd have
what,
more
a nuke?
Chance. No, like if somebody was going to fucking use a nuke on you, the last thing you'd be worried about is if my Kevlar jacket will be, you know. Would withstand the thermal nuclear energy that's going to vaporize my eyeballs. It's going to be like...
Okay, we're going to go into one of my single-handedly biggest pet peeves about Hollywood movies.
Okay.
Cool.
You have a handgun.
Yeah.
You're pointing it at a person. You shoot at their chest.
Yeah.
They're wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
You're the villain. They're the good guy. They get knocked over. You think they're dead.
Mm.
They get up. They shoot you in the head. Tear off their shirt.
Yeah.
And you see they're wearing Kevlar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, but the way that I learned how to kill things...
Is in the head.
Is you aim at the head first. Yeah. If you do not have a clear shot of the head, then you aim for the heart.
Mm.
If you cannot hit the heart, then you do not take the shot.
Yeah.
But if I'm standing 10 feet away from a person, I'm not going to shoot him in the chest.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot him in the eye.
No,
much less bone.
No, I totally agree
much
with you.
Much more damage.
I totally agree with you on that one. It's just... As I said before, I'm not concerned about getting directly shot, because if somebody's going to kill me, they're going to kill me. But just for the factor of a weapon unloading...
Well, do you know how much chances there are of a bullet ricocheting off of mud?
Very slim, I know, but I'm just saying, like... It's happened before
just
where weapons
unload.
Just
say you want
unload.
It because you think it'd be really fucking cool to have.
Yeah, okay, I really want one.
And you love to wear it around. Yeah, don't talk to me about this like, you know, I'm worried because we're going to go out shooting.
No, all right. I want one because I want to wear one around because I think it'd be fucking cool.
There you go.
Okay.
I'll help you out getting one.
Cool.
I don't want to hear about how we could go out shooting and it's a good thing to have because it could ricochet off of a bunch of goop on the ground. Okay.
Okay.
Let's not insult our collective intelligence here.
Okay. Minus mine.
I think that is a good idea to wear a Kevlar vest when you go target shooting.
Yeah.
People have been target shooting for hundreds of years.
Yeah. Not wearing Kevlar.
Number of fatalities in those hundreds of years due to target shooting, 2.
Why? Because they shot them in the head.
No, mostly because they set up a cardboard target.
Yeah.
On a cliff face. And, you know, 1 out of 120 shots that they fired at the cliff face happened to hit him in the chest. And they weren't wearing body armor.
And they weren't wearing body armor, exactly, see?
But that is not going to be our circumstance.
Sure. We're going to be shooting at
As a matter of fact, our bullets are going to go through our targets and hit trees hundreds of yards away. Just one thing, no firing bullets in the air.
No, because they tend to
fall. Oh.
Like, you see gravity, how that works?
Yeah. It'll be like 2.5, 3, 4 miles away.
When it kills,
that bullet's going to come down.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is bullets coming down.
Randomly.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's not random if you look at it in a cause and
no,
effect.
No, okay, I mean...
but
be,
from the perspective...
Don't be an asshole now.
And yeah. Strike.
Totally random.
Like, let's say... I mean, what kind of weapons? Like, fully automatic, sub, or just like a single shot? Will we be able to get our hands on? What kind of weapons will we be able to get our hands on? What kind of caliber, as in... And also, is it going to be...
Oh, God, caliber? Is it gonna be, anything from 22 to 50.
Right. And is it going to be, like, fully automatic or semi, or... Is it going to be a submachine gun?
Most
or?
Of the things we'll be firing will be semi-automatic. Some of them will be bolt action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to do some work to be able to get some people that'll bring some fully auto
sure.
stuff out.
I've got to say, I prefer...
Because you need a federal firearms permit.
Really? For fully?
To be able to fire those.
Okay. But I've got to say, I enjoy...
I know a couple of people, but...
I enjoy bolt action as a sport more than, like...
You know what you're going to get to fire?
What?
Perhaps the finest rifle ever made.
Ooh, nice.
The U.S. Springfield M1 Garand.
Hmm.
Semi-automatic, 8-shot zip clip.
Wow.
30-06.
Cool. Bastards. Damn. It's cut my connection, dude.
Did I cut out there?
You did, yeah. For like a fraction of a second.
The M1 Garand, the same... gun that was used to conquer Normandy.
Right.
30-06 semi-automatic zip 8-shot zip clip. Perhaps one of the finest rifles ever made.
That sounds good to me, man.
As a matter of fact, you go worldwide, they're still used today because they're reliable as all hell. My only complaint is it's a bit heavy compared to some of the, like the carbon fiber things that are made today.
Yeah.
It's also accurate up to 900 yards.
But then with the weight, you've got the added accuracy as well. Because, like with sniper rifles, you don't want one that's paper thin, because you're going to be shooting at a target that's very far away. It's much harder to hit something further away when this thing is susceptible to uncontrolled movement, as in the vibration of your hands, or if your hands get slightly tired, or if you lose your concentration, you're more likely to miss the target with a lighter weapon than you are with a nice, heavy one.
I think when we go shooting, we'll probably go shooting about twice.
Right.
But one of the times, I want it to be like the Veterans of U.S. Wars tour.
Right.
Cool.
We'll go shooting with my grandpa.
Cool.
Who served in World War II and the Korean War.
Yeah.
We'll go shooting with this guy, Alan, who served in the demilitarized zone in Korea, as well as Iraq, the first war.
Cool.
Gulf War One, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I keep hitting my mic.
The Phantom Menace.
And, it'll be fun.
Mm, definitely.
You'll be shooting with some U.S. Marines.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be, like, kicking my ass.
They're better shots than I am.
I'm sure they're going to be far better shots.
I'm pretty damn good, but they got it down to a...
Well,
Grandpa's had a good, like, 90 years to refine it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got an RAF marksman, which means that you have to fire three rounds from about 200 yards... Oh, is it 150, 200, I'm not sure, in the size of a two-pence piece. Now, you probably have no idea how large a two-pence piece is, but...
I do, actually.
You do? Oh, okay, cool.
It's slightly larger than our nickel.
Sure. I don't know how large the nickel is, but it's... I don't have a ruler here. Let's say less than an inch in length or width.
I've got a nice 50 yards.
Yeah.
With a 12 gauge pump shotgun.
Yeah.
Three rounds.
Yeah.
Within an inch and a quarter of themselves.
Mm.
And the round itself is 3/4 inch round.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive, man.
I only did it once.
Yeah. Same here, I only did that once and I got it, so I was quite pleased with that. But
you know, it's funny, but my fiance is as good, if not better, a shot with a rifle than I am.
Cool. What about...
I whoop her ass with a handgun.
What about optics?
We're just going to be using optical scope.
Cool.
Although the M1 Garand doesn't have a scope on it.
No, it's just iron sights.
And I've hit a target at 700 yards with it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's advantages to optics as well as iron sights, but, you know, it depends on what kind of shooting you're doing.
It's got one of those great things that flips up.
Yeah, yeah, and you can measure the distance
you can
and stuff.
Dial in how far away
it
is.
Yeah.
It's like ancient, but it's so cool.
I know, and it works.
Oh, it works, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to do some shooting, man. We've got to do some filming, maybe over the next few. Well, over the forthcoming month, I might write up a few things that we could, you know, some ideas or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to be able to doing multiple point wet tracking.
Yeah.
As you know. Proof of concept, if you will.
What about...
Even though it's been proven over and over again.
What about power supply stuff? I'm going to have to get a new adapter for my laptop, aren't I? Because the voltage there is going to be different.
You should look into that. Yeah, we use 110 to 115.
That's right. Yeah.
Volt.
I've got to check
now,
if
most
my...
most commercially sold laptops...
Actually, let me check
we'll
my...
do that.
It's an IBM...
You probably just need a different cord.
Yeah. I'm checking the rating now on it. If I can take it out without making something fall over. Let's see. Yeah, it goes from 100 to 240.
Yeah, because you guys use a lot more voltage than we do.
Yeah, I'm good to go on that one. I'm pretty happy with that.
Can you not just use one of those plug converters?
Yeah, you could, but the thing that's taking the voltage has to be able to accommodate for the lower voltage of the US. Because you'll find it simply won't work, or it will get very, very hot very quickly. But, yeah, I mean, like, things like this, like adapters where it goes from AC to DC... you'll find that it will be compatible. Like I just proved now with my adapter for my laptop. Where like it is for direct kind of equipment, it might not be. I don't know. You got to check.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, you're using an IBM laptop.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that what you use to actually plug it into the wall actually regulates. It's not a straight plug, is it? It has a transformer on it.
Well, it's got a transformer on it, but it's got an input for a three-phase input, which could be a UK one, or it could be a US one that you plug in, if you see what I mean. Which you can't hear, because my stuff's crapped out again.
Desktop has a...
Hello? Has a... Can you still hear me? Hello? Hello?
Desktop has a switch on the back.
Uh-huh.
That you can flip.
That's right, yeah. I mean, you'll find that a lot of things like that do have the dual fuel capability. Yeah,
and I really doubt that your laptop was made only to work in the UK.
I'm sure that people are buying this as a business thing, and they're going to be flying over to the US and everything. It's going to be compatible, but you've just got to check before. And basically, all I need for it to work over there is a three-phase thing that plugs into your wall. That's it. And I'm sure I'm going to be able to find one there. I mean, it's a standardized kind of weird shape sort of thing that goes into the laptops.
I think I might actually have one.
Probably. You probably do. So it's not going to be an issue at all.
I have a ton of crap.
For things that are specialized, like for my iRiver and stuff like that, I've got to check that. I mean, I can probably check now, actually.
Well, they sell them here, too, so it makes much more sense for them to sell two different power adapters than it does to sell two different models, one that works on a different power scheme.
Yeah. It's going to be a same here, AC to DC from 100 to 240, and that's sweet. All I need for that is a socket that adapts the three-phase to your three-phase.
Yeah, so get some of those international sockets.
Yeah, exactly. Your three-phase looks weird. It's got two little things, and then the earth is on the sides of the...
It's on the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I'm sorry, but I just have to say yours looks weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You go to, like, the continent, and they're weird. They've got two big ones. Actually, you go to South Africa. South Africa uses...
I know. Those plugs are, like,
they're
really
huge.
Crazy. It's like a triangle.
Exactly.
What the fuck are they thinking?
And, I don't know.
And why isn't this standardized?
I know. Why? Oh, because... electricity was invented in different countries, you know, and they thingy this and that, so that's...
No, it wasn't.
No, but...
And we all basically use the same system, we just use radically different voltages.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, they all, like, patented their own shit, so that's why.
Yeah.
And they all invented, they all separately invented electricity, so that's why.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. The African electricity actually tastes different.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, there's a lot more flavor.
Yeah.
Here's the question that I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
You guys have, like, AA, AAA batteries?
That's right,
there,
yeah, AA,
like
AAA.
Like, all the batteries are standardized.
That's right, yeah, they're all standardized.
Yeah. But the wall plugs aren't.
Yeah, that's right. You'll find that all over the world except for Europe. Europe has a standard, and their one looks weird, you know? Even their phone sockets look weird. I saw a ADSL microfilter for French microfilter, and that thing looks weird. It's like a slot, like for a PCI
card.
Are you guys still
using the old school British sockets, or are you using RJ11?
RJ11's for an adapter, but the actual thing that goes into the master wall is an old school one. The what's it called?
Yeah, we're all RJ11.
Yeah, you're going to be. But we've got an adapter that goes from RJ11, if that is the case, to our kind of larger one that looks
for like your modem.
Yeah, exactly. But that one looks like a small RJ45, a flat, shortened down version of an RJ45.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're 6-pin.
Yeah.
Actually, when I went into the freaking, I talked about what the pins actually were. And I gotta say, weird, man.
Yeah, I know, it's weird.
Like, you'd think we could all agree on the same standard.
Exactly. No.
It makes so much more interesting to I don't know, just make it easy. Yeah. And you know, we do have 250 volt sockets that we use for like industrial equipment and like washers and dryers.
Yeah.
But the plugs for them are huge.
Yeah, they would be like those kind of pull down ones and stuff.
Yeah, they're giant, three pronged, curved like node, weird plug. But we use them for industrial equipment, but like everything else is on lower voltage.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I don't know, for the most part, what do you actually need 250 volts to run?
Actually, it's 230. At the moment, they drop the voltage down. They seem to drop it every 2 years.
Well, the thing is lower voltage is safer, for one.
But it
number two, I mean, we're using microprocessors.
Yeah.
They don't need, you know, it's not like we're powering giant tubes anymore.
Yeah.
But even like tube guitar amps, you know, we get along just fine with 115 to 120 volts.
Sure.
I don't know. It's odd. It's odd stuff. Weird and wacky stuff.
Anyway, we're coming up to the end of the show. Actually,
we didn't even do the news.
No, we've gone over time by half an hour.
Oh, crap. Yeah. All right. Okay, here's my news.
Yeah.
TiVo patents an RFID remote.
That's right.
Huzzah, the peer-to-peer, decides that they're going to throw a bunch of search terms in that will block illegal content.
Ooh.
Stupid, because M&M, as one word, will become M plus M.
Right.
Okay, moving straight along, there's a lovely desktop hardware system that is selling these, they're selling hard drives, USB hard drives, that are shaped like Lego bricks.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Get your little kid in on the internet revolution and let me build a Death Star.
Yeah.
With hard drives. All right, that's my news.
Cool. Any news from Planet?
Yes, today some stuff happened.
And news from me, podcasting appears to be one of the most interesting developments in current culture and technology. It is one of the earliest non-business representations of the value and power of XML, and is being used to link digital documentations together, and more significantly databases, much like internet itself linked individual computers into global networks.
Excellent.
So podcasting is like, I don't know, I guess officially really good now.
Actually reminds me, you guys, we should stay on the line, because you know our announcement circuit?
Yeah.
I haven't changed it in like a month and a half.
Right.
It still has that woman having orgasm.
Oh, damn.
Good. We should like talk to what we want to change it to.
Yeah, cool. And a few other things as well that you want to talk
as
to
well,
us, I guess. And maybe work on the script a bit more. I don't know if you want to do that.
Yes, we'll do all of that.
Cool. Okay, well, thank you for listening to another quality free episode of Hacker Voice Radio. Your hosts have been Planet Lave.
Hola.
Ionix. And some guy that wants a Kevlar jacket because he thinks it's cool, your one and only Belial.
And your Kevlar jacket will not protect you against my throwing knife.
No, they won't. Because you're going to be aiming for my ass when I'm running.
I'm pretty good with them.
Yeah.
I bought them to hunt deer.
I'm suddenly regretting buying that ticket to the US now, and I can't get a refund.
He'll come back alive, but he'll be minus 2 quarts of blood.
Good night, so I hope you enjoyed another quality episode. We'll see you again on Monday. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Take care.